Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are always good. That your Spirit will always lead us continually until the end of time. Because your kingdom is a kingdom that knows no end, a kingdom that knows no bound. Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's remain standing for responsive scripture reading. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us, therefore, every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Please be seated. So, how many of you believe that you have entered into God's rest? Maybe you believe that you have. Or maybe you were wondering, after reading the scripture, have I entered into God's rest? But then, what is happening in our lives? Maybe you are still facing with some issues in life that you do not have any solution. Maybe you're facing with some health issue, or some of your close family member are facing with some health issue. Or maybe you are facing with some relationship issue. Maybe there are some behavior of some people who disturb you. Why did he do that? Why did she frown at me? Did I do anything wrong? Maybe you are facing some dorm issue. Like, oh, there's only one CR. And there are so many of us sharing it. I'm sure the men in Unit 7 can relate to that. One CR, seven people, right? What if you have an 8 o'clock class in the morning, all seven of you? Yeah. What about those classes? What about those assignments that maybe not seem to make sense? Huh? What is this research method? Why do we need to memorize all this formula? Is it spiritual at all? Or maybe even in this seminary, students or teacher or missionaries, you are struggling. After a while, oh, these theologians say this. These theologians say that. Which one is the true one? Oh, but the teacher didn't tell us which one is the right one. So, which one? And maybe you are confused. Is the Bible God's word? Or maybe some other issues that you're facing. With all these things that we are facing, trials and temptation, are we in God's rest? You will wonder, right? Am I in God's rest? Why? Why does Hebrews say, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." In other words, Hebrews is saying that Joshua did not give the Israelite rest after they entered the promised land. Otherwise, God would not have spoken again about another day of rest through David. So, why does the Hebrew says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God? Are we saved? Are we in that rest? Why does God say, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Continue to work out salvation. I thought I'm saved. When I was converted, am I not saved? That means there's still more for us to work out. But we are saved by faith, not by work. Why does God again say in Peter, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, who through faith are shielded by God's power until what? Let's read together. The coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He has given us new birth when we are converted. We are new. But then, why does he again say that there is a coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the future? Are we in that rest? Why does God again say, wake up from your slumber? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's nearer now. That means when we first believe is not yet. It's nearer now. So we are going toward that salvation.
But the good news is, maybe right now you would think that I will say, oh, you're not yet saved. But the good news is, the scripture is not to be read just verse by verse. It's to be read in whole, right? Hebrew chapter 4, verse 3 said, Now, we who have believed enter that rest. The key word is enter that rest, present tense. Dr. Len is not here, but in Greek, the original text, present tense has a continual aspect to it, is continuously enter into that rest. We who have believed from the moment we are converted continually enter into that rest. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. Jesus say, come, and I will give you rest. What does rest mean to you? What is the picture of rest to you? Is it something like you are laying on your bed and you just rest? Or is it like you are having your vacation at a beach and just relax? But look at this. Look at what Jesus said. I will give you rest. Let's read this together, the font in red. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Rest. He will give us rest. But he said, you have to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So on the screen, you see a pair of oxen yoked together. What does yoking yourself, take Jesus' yoke, means to you? What does that mean to you if Jesus, you're yoking yourself, you're taking the yoke? If Jesus is turning left, right, you are turning left also. If Jesus is turning right, you are also turning right, right? If Jesus is going one step, you are also going one step. If he's going two steps, you are also going two steps, right? That means yoke. Otherwise, you'll be dragging. You will be not at rest. Jesus is the answer. That's why, are we in that rest? When we are first converted, we find ourselves still in the wilderness. We find ourselves still with so many problems, so many trials and temptations. But the good news is that Jesus say, as long as you, present tense, come to me, continually come to me, you will find that rest. You will find that rest. Fixing our thought, fixing our eyes on Jesus is the answer to having that continual rest. In the book of Hebrews, there are two places that say fix your thought or your eyes on Jesus. There are two different Greek words. In chapter 3, fix your thought on Jesus is from Greek word katasesate. It's actually consider carefully. You consider Jesus' way carefully. Whereas in the chapter 12, it's actually aphorontes. It's actually fixing our eyes. It's not just look at Jesus. It actually have the definition and connotation of actively looking away from everything that is not Jesus. Jesus is the only answer for us to find that continual rest, to enter into the kingdom that knows no end. Continually be in the state of salvation. Continually be in the state of rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Again, this is agreeing with what Jesus said. I will give you rest, and you have to take my yoke upon you. Here, Hebrews, his own words also, God said, I will give you, there is a Sabbath rest, but you need to make every effort. It's not like rest, like you are not doing anything. We have to make every effort. Make every effort. And just one chapter before, he gives us a clue of what make every effort looks like. We have read just now in the scripture, see to it, brothers and sisters, that we don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart. And then we encourage one another. And then again he said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This is a picture that God has given to us. Like, how many times do we feel like we want to enter that rest? We are making all our effort, but we just cannot do it. Any aside from me? So many times, I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. But so many times, sitting in the library, most of you who know me know that library is like my camp, right? But I'm sitting there, I'm trying to read, I'm trying to study, but my mind is just going here, going there, really not productive. I try to make every effort, but it seems like I just fail again and again and again and again. God knows this. If we look at the context in Hebrew, just in Hebrew chapter 2, the whole book of Hebrew is pointing us toward Jesus. And chapter 2, before our text just now, God was saying, Jesus came down on earth, incarnated on earth, not to help angels, but to help us, the descendants of Abraham. Because he's tempted in every single way that we are tempted, we keep trying, but we keep failing. Of course, he's tempted, but he never fails. So he's able to help us. That was the context of the text that we read just now. That is why he said, fix your eyes, consider carefully your thought on Jesus, how he do it, so that we can do it. And he gives us his word on how we can do it. And he knows that we cannot stand alone. That's why when he said, make every effort, he gives us a clue of how we can make every effort. The first one that he gave us is just one chapter before. He said, see to it that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart. Now this see to it, in Greek, is actually a present active imperative. What it means is that present tense is continual again, continually doing something. Imperative means it's a command. And active, you are doing it. So I put it in my own translation to reflect more of what the Greek word means, is God command us, I command you to continually, actively watch out for one another, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving hearts. Watch out for one another. How do we watch out to see if you have an unbelieving heart? Unbelieving heart, can I see that? Is there an unbelieving heart? Watch carefully. What does it mean, the Greek word, watch carefully, that none of us have unbelieving hearts? If we recall, Jesus said in Gethsemane, keep watch and pray. Keep watch and pray. No one except God alone can see the heart, right? Sinful, unbelieving heart. We cannot judge, we cannot see. But if we watch out for our brothers and sisters, then we can. We can help them against the temptation to be unbelieving. Now, I don't know how many times, I don't know about you, you may recall the times that you are tempted to turn away from the living God. Even these 3 years in seminary, I have many times myself to have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. There was one point in time that I was struggling with health issue, insomnia. And it's not very serious. I have cough, I have cold, and I cannot even go to library. There were a few months that I wasn't there in the library. And I was tempted to start thinking, God, are you still there? Why did you send me here? Why is this all happening to me? Yeah, I start doubting and I said, are you? Yeah, I asked God all sorts of questions. But there were some of you who were watching out, who were praying. I believe many of you are praying for one another. And thank you for praying for me. There were some brother or sister who came and bring medicine to me. How did they know I need this? It's amazing. When you pray for your brother or sister, you will be amazed at how God will show you what he's seeing. That sister does not know that I need that medicine. That sister doesn't know that I was thinking I need to get this ingredient and that ingredient to make something for my illnesses. But she brought it to me. How can we explain that except that it's God who answers prayers? Keep watch and pray so that none of us will have a sinful, unbelieving hearts. You are already doing that. I believe you are already doing that. The key word here is continually do that. Continually do that. Present tense. Same thing. It's not only pray and watch for one another, but encourage one another continually. Continually. In the Greek word, this is called parakaleite. It's coming from two words, para, kaleite. Para is beside. Come beside a sister or a brother. Kaleite is from kaleo, call. So you come beside a brother or sister and you talk to them. You call upon them. You encourage them. You say good things to them. How wonderful is that picture? When you pray and you watch and you come alongside, encourage them. Again, this is the present tense. Continually. I believe you are already doing that. In fact, just last few days, people just messaged me and just encouraged me with their prayers and with different things. When I was missing in action from some of the place, there will be some brother or sister who message or who come alongside me and said, what's going on? I didn't see you there. You are normally there. That's the way we encourage one another. And I see it already here. Continue to do that. Present tense. Because if not, it's easy for us to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Here, grammatically hardened is passive. When we say passive, it's not active. You probably know, we are in the army of God, right? The moment we believe, the moment we accept Christ Jesus in our heart, we are in his army, heavenly army. We are all together here, the whole army. But what does it mean? Satan wants us down. Even if we do nothing, passive, just stay quiet and he will do something to us, attack us. He will attack us with all sorts of whisper, all sorts of things that say that you are not worthy. Why did you do that? You are not good enough. Oh, you do that thing. You said that thing. That's not Christian. Like, remember the Got Talent night? Devil. Even we do nothing, the devil will come beside us and whisper different things. That's the word. If that's why Jesus knows that we cannot stand alone, he sent his disciple two by two. And he knows that sometimes we cannot do it ourselves. We try hard, make every effort, but we cannot. So he gives us his word in Hebrew to say, continually watch out for one another, help each other, continually encourage each other. And today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Again here, it amazes me how the Greek grammar function. Here, do not harden your heart is a present active subjunctive. Subjunctive is a possibility. It's like if you hear his voice, we are his people, but there is still a possibility that we can choose. Here, active sense is an active tense, meaning we are actively doing the choosing, the choice. We still have the choice to disobey him. If you hear his voice, do not actively choose to turn from him. There remains a Sabbath rest. Are we in the rest? Are we in his rest? I believe yes. I think we are safe. I believe I see so many fruits in this APNTS, fruits of the Spirit. I see so many encouragement coming my way. I see so many, like there's no tribes and tongues. There's no differentiation. I see the people including one another, inviting people to the house, regardless of their nationalities, and just have fellowship together. So many fruits of the Spirit, I see that. And I believe that we are already in that rest. But we are cycling. The moment we stop cycling, we will fall. We are in that rest, but there still remains a Sabbath rest for us that we need to continually make effort to enter into that rest. How? By continually, actively watching and praying for one another. By continually, actively encourage one another, come alongside one another and ask, what's going? What's going on? You don't seem to look well or something. By continually, actively make decision to not turn away from our living God. Rest is not the absence of problem. Yes, on earth, we are in God's army. If we do nothing, enemy will still attack us. We will have trials and temptation. But it is rest, is the presence of Jesus. I believe that we are in the presence of Jesus. Do you not? Yes, we are in the presence of Jesus. But we need to continually keep going on. Continually abide in Jesus. Because his kingdom is the kingdom that knows no end. The kingdom that knows no bound. I would like to invite everyone to be in the spirit of prayer. As I invite the worship team to come back. What has God spoken to us today? Today, as long as it is called today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I want us to ponder about what he speak to us. What he speak to us today. And talk to him. Listen to him. Fix our eyes on him. Consider his way. And look away from all other things. Just think about him.